from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is testifying before a joint hearing of the Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committees. We'll get an update on that and a report from Congresswoman Ann Wagner on the almost immediate impact of her anti-human trafficking bill that passed Congress last month. Also today marks the first anniversary of Justice Neil Gorsuch being on the Supreme Court. He has, I guess the question we need to ask is, has he been what President Trump promised? Ken Klukowski with Breitbart News has that answer. And since Congress reversed an Obama-era restriction that prohibits states from defunding abortion providers, states have been lining up to end this forced partnership between taxpayers and organizations like Planned Parenthood, Nebraska being the latest. Nebraska State Senator Mark Hilgers has the details on what that state is doing. And also, student walkouts have been a part of the national conversation on many issues that this country is facing. The latest school walkout that happened was in protest over gun rights. Well, conservative students across the country have a couple walkouts of their own planned. Later in the show, you'll hear about one of these walkouts with Kristen Hawkins. We'll talk more about that later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, Capitol Hill busy today, and we have still testifying before a joint committee hearing of the Senate Commerce and Judiciary Committees, Mark Zuckerberg, kind of on the hot seat. Here's a clip of part of that an exchange took place earlier.
As we discussed in my office yesterday, the line between legitimate political discourse and hate speech can sometimes be hard to identify, and especially when you're relying on artificial intelligence and other technologies for the initial discovery. Can you discuss what steps that Facebook currently takes when making these evaluations, the challenges that you face, and any examples of where you may draw the line between what is and what is not hate speech?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'll speak to hate speech, and then I'll talk about enforcing our content policies more broadly. So, actually, maybe if you're okay with it, I'll go in the other order. So, from the beginning of the company in 2004, I started it in my dorm room. It was me and my roommate. We didn't have AI technology that could look at the content that people were sharing. So we basically had to enforce our content policies reactively. People could share what they wanted, and then if someone in the community found it to be offensive or against our policies, they'd flag it for us and we'd look at it reactively. Now, increasingly, we are developing AI tools that can identify certain classes of bad activity proactively and flag it for our team at Facebook. By the end of this year, by the way, we're going to have more than 20,000 people working on security and content review working across all these things. So when content gets flagged to us, we have those people look at it, and if it violates our policies, then we take it down.
That's earlier today, Mark Zuckerberg responding to a question from, I believe that was Senator Thune. This is a very important issue because we've got several issues merging here. We have issues of privacy. We also have issues of whether or not this is truly a virtual public square where people can come and talk and engage in legitimate conversation, unfree from bias and being filtered. Well, a lot happening on Capitol Hill. Joining us now, one of the members of Congress has been working on issues related to the Internet, Congresswoman Ann Wagner of Missouri's 2nd Congressional District. Just last month, one of her pieces of legislation dealing with human trafficking went into law, and the effect is already being seen. Congresswoman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Tony, it's great to be with you.
Well, I want to get your thoughts before we get into what I think is a lot of good news when it comes to the impact that your bill's already having. I want to first get your thoughts on Mark Zuckerberg appearing before Congress today.
Well, I mean, Congress has a responsibility to conduct oversight and investigation activities, and I chair the Oversight and Investigation Committee on the Financial Services side of the spectrum. So you're going to have Facebook up in front of Judiciary and Energy and Commerce in both the Senate next week in the House, and people have legitimate concerns about how Facebook used or misused and allowed others to use their personal data. Facebook themselves admitted that the data was improperly used, and they have to make sure it never happens again. So, you know, I think it's time, past time, for big tech to clean up their act and start acting like the good stewards of the internet that they claim to be. And my piece of legislation is very much to the heart and point of that.
Yeah, and let's go into your bill, Congresswoman, because this was something that's been a growing problem, and you know, people denied that it was there. The internet was used to fuel this human trafficking, sexual exploitation of women and children. And within days of your piece of legislation, which was signed into law, I think, on the 21st of last month, within days we had Craigslist, you know, eliminating a large portion of their platform that dealt with this. And then a federal agency, the federal authorities raiding back pages just earlier last week. A lot happening on this front as a result of this legislation.
It is, and it's been just incredible and joyous to see. The H.R. 1865, which is the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, FOSTA is what we call it, is prosecutors are calling this the single biggest disruption in America's online commercial sex industry ever. We've got I've count some 30-plus websites and online platforms that have already shut down or seen major policy changes, plus a 93-count federal indictment against Backpage just this week. 49 counts of that 93-count are a part of this legislation from the standpoint of going after Backpage for facilitating prostitution. So it's been rewarding to see. One of the Manhattan District Attorney's Office contacted me yesterday and said, and I quote, "The online economy powering human trafficking in America is decimated. They believe that global ad volume selling our women and children, little boys and little girls, with impunity, true sex slavery, they believe that the ad volume is down 87% for the past 60 years. Over the past 60 days, they've watched that drop here dramatically. So, already we're doing good. And FOSTA is creates a new crime that targets how websites are engaging in the online sex trade, and it uses both the sex trafficking statutes and the prostitution statutes to lift the barriers that inhibit state and local prosecutors from protecting from their communities. So. We're going to have more prosecutions, Tony, of these bad actor websites. It's going to lead to more convictions, put more predators behind bars, and ultimately, I hope, serve as a deterrent from others that may want to flood into this ecosystem.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, my guest. She represents the 2nd Congressional District of Missouri. We're talking about her piece of legislation, which took effect about 2 weeks ago. And, I mean, immediately after it, I mean, it was within, I don't know, it was, I know it was within 48 hours of the bill going into effect that Craigslist made its announcement. And then, of course, we had those raids, back pages earlier, I guess it was this week or over the weekend. I mean, this is very significant because as you pointed out, this is going to probably roll back what has been expanding in recent years, this human trafficking, more than anything we have seen in years.
That's the truth. As I said, some 30 plus websites and online platforms have already shuttered. I'm hoping that FOSTA is going to give prosecutors the tools that they need to ensure that no online business can ever reach the size and the scope of Backpage.com. Tony, we've watched sex trafficking.
Let me ask you this because...
Mm-hmm. Please.
Yeah, I mean, where will they go? I mean, without this, I mean, they've relied very heavily on the internet. So, I mean, are we thinking down the... Okay, all right, they're going to move away from this. They're going to use another means to try to do their human trafficking. Are we kind of plotting out the next move here to, you know, to protect these women and children that are being exploited?
You bet. And we're always trying to stay ahead of the criminals. The fact of the matter is we have seen sex trafficking and prostitution, both of which are crimes and illegal, move from the streets to the internet. And NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, has said that they have seen an 846% increase over the last 5 years of children being sold online. So Backpage just came into being in 2004, and it's nearly taken 15 years for federal prosecutors to finally take them down. So these cesspools of crime, have got to be, I hope, ultimately deterred, but they've got to be prosecuted at both the federal level, as we're seeing with Backpage, but also, more importantly, at the state and local level. And what we want to do is take FOSTA now, Tony, and mirror this in state legislatures across the country. I'm hoping that my Missouri will be one of the first ones to actually move it this session. We're seeing movement in Texas, Florida, Washington State. It's going to be a constant job and constant due diligence to make sure that we're putting an end to modern day sex slavery. But already
amazing. Most people don't even know that this is going on, and you know this is exposing a lot of that. And I want to commend you, Congresswoman Wagner, for taking this on. And I know there were several other bills, competing bills. You pushed forward yours. I know we were on early with your bill and helped with some of the aspects as we thought it was good, needed. But you did run into some opposition. There were those who were opposed to your bill.
You bet. And I will say that I've been fighting big tech for years and years in trying to move this kind of legislation forward. Not only does it have a strong criminal aspect, but it also has a civil piece that is going to give justice to victims. And it goes into kind of the Holy Grail, which is the Communications Decency Act that was written in 1996 that Backpage and these other nefarious websites have been hiding behind a little-known immunity clause. And the courts have begged for congressional clarity and congressional intent to be made clear on this. So we went in and narrowly amended the Communications Decency Act to make sure that it was clear to the courts, to the world, that Congress never intended for the internet to be a red light district. And if it is a crime offline, it is a crime, Tony, online. So that's what FOSTA clarifies. It's got these three very strong aspects to it. And big tech has been fighting me on this for a very long time, but we were victorious and grateful to you and FRC for supporting us.
Well, thanks for persevering, Congresswoman Ann Wagner. Again, great job. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet.
All right. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com. This is one of those areas that legislation makes a difference. Elections make a difference on legislation. All right, when we come back, we're going to check in to see, has Neil Gorsuch been what President Donald Trump promised? Ken Kulkowski is here on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military, and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to tonyperkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008 or go to tonyperkins.com. God bless you and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Okay, it was 1 year ago today that Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch took his spot on the High Court. Now, the significance of this is that you might recall back in May of 2016 when the primary was pretty much winding down and it was going to be a head-to-head between most likely Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Donald Trump issued in May of 2016 a list of 11 Supreme Court justices or nominees that he would pick from, potential names. He later added to that list. But in that list, he made clear that he would pick conservative pro-life justices. Now, no nominee or potential nominee or had ever said that. Well, he stuck to his list, the second list. Neil Gorsuch, I believe, was on the second list that he put out. And 1 year later, the question is, has Neil Gorsuch lived up to Donald Trump's pledge? Joining us now to talk about this, Ken Klukowski, a frequent guest here on the Washington Watch program and editor with Breitbart News. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be with you. Thank you.
All right, well, let's jump right into it and answer the question. Has he lived up to the standard that Donald Trump pledged to voters?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, President Trump made a very big pledge. He set a very high bar, saying that it was going to be someone in the mold of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Not only has he delivered, he may have actually gone above and beyond, and that does not in the slightest take anything away from Justice Scalia, who is an iconic figure in the law, a historic figure, in fact. It's just that that sometimes Justice Scalia, for reasons of stare decisis and just precedents that had been settled by the court, there's always a tension for justices about how far can you push into original meaning and first principles. How much can you clear away what you think are wrongly decided precedents from the past? How do you draw that line, not to just completely upend the apple cart? What we have seen from Justice Neil Gorsuch thus far is that he might even be more willing to do that than Justice Scalia, and that he might instead be more in the mold of Justice Clarence Thomas, all of them principled constitutional conservatives. But in terms of what President Trump had been promising, he knocked it out of the park. This is at least Scalia. It may be more of a Scalia-Thomas type model, but President Trump kept a promise that was so big that a lot of people were skeptical as to if it was even possible.
Well, that's an interesting point, because one news outlet was bemoaning the fact that Gorsuch had aligned himself with Clarence Thomas 100% of the time, making him far to the right of even Scalia. So we can actually learn quite a bit about the left's response to Gorsuch's first year on the court.
That's right. Justice Neil Gorsuch is the absolute worst nightmare of the political left. This is someone, he went to the court at age 49, off the charts brilliant, not just a Harvard law degree, but a doctor of philosophy degree from Oxford in the United Kingdom, of all things, but also having this unapologetic commitment to just following the original public meaning of the U.S. Constitution, and that for every law, for every regulation, for everything under the authority of the Constitution, just following the text of whatever lawmakers have adopted. And that kind of just unflagging fidelity to the principle of, look, we live in a democratic republic, you guys make the law, my job is just to unfailingly follow the meaning of what you have adopted. Even if I think it's silly or just not the right way to go, that's not my job. My job is to faithfully interpret the law. To have someone that young, that brilliant, that principled, and that committed to that way of doing the job of being a federal judge, if you're looking for a judicial activist, this is the last guy you would ever want within a mile of the Supreme Court.
And Ken Kulkowski, there is some anticipation that the president may have yet another pick to make for the Supreme Court, possibly even coming, being announced before this next election.
That's correct. Speculation is rampant. Of course, it was last year as well, though I never thought that Justice Anthony Kennedy was going to retire last year. It would make sense to me that Justice Kennedy, in planning his own retirement, we all have to retire one day, one way or the other, and for Justice Kennedy, this would be a wonderful time to do it. This marks his 30th anniversary on the court. He's now into his early 80s. He knows that right now Republicans, albeit by a small margin, control the U.S. Senate. He saw the very smooth way that Justice Gorsuch, his former law clerk, was confirmed to the court. He knows that if he retires this summer, he writes the script of his own retirement. It'll be an elegant and graceful stepping off the stage and handing off his baton to the next generation. So I think for so many reasons, it makes sense that Justice Kennedy would retire this year. But over the course of the next 3 years, one way or the other, in addition to Justice Kennedy, it's widely expected that perhaps Justice Ginsburg would be leaving the court during that time as well.
All right, we're up against a break, but one final question. The next nomination, pretty significant battle will take place, will it not?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be an absolute Armageddon. It'll be a chance for President Trump to lead the nation and rally the troops, and I believe will be victorious on an issue where the voters side with him over the left by a margin of 57 to 41. This is a plus 16 winning issue for President Trump and the help he's getting from Attorney General Sessions and White House Counsel Don McGahn.
All right, very good. Ken Kulkowski, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks. Hey, folks, on the other side of the break, Nebraska is joining a nationwide wave of states ending the funding to abortion organizations as a result of action taken by Congress. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, in April of 2017, one year ago, President Trump signed legislation into law that rolled back an Obama-era rule that prohibited states from defunding organizations that provided abortions. This was through the Title X funds, and it was mixed in with the Medicaid funds. And so Obama had put in place a rule that said, well, you can't do that. Again, it was just as they tried to control bathroom policies, the White House wanted to control everything. Well, Congress rolled back that law, that rule, and said the states can do that. And so states have been doing that. The latest is coming from the state of Nebraska that just recently passed a provision that will keep state dollars and federal dollars that are coming in from going to organizations that provide abortions, such as Planned Parenthood. Joining us now, State Senator Mike Hilgers. He is the one who pushed this issue through and helped get it onto the governor's desk that he signed yesterday into law. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony. Great to be here.
Well, how much of a lift was this? From what I can tell, it looks like this was pretty popular in the state of Nebraska to end this partnership between taxpayers and abortion agencies.
Well, Nebraska is a pro-life state, Tony. Two-thirds majority of Nebraskans don't want taxpayer dollars going towards abortion facilities. But beyond that, we have a long history of pro-life activism. You know, one of the first fetal pain bans was passed in Nebraska. The old case, Stenberg v. Carhart, which was a ban on partial birth abortion, was a Nebraska law. So it's very popular in Nebraska. But in our unique unicameral, it was an incredibly heavy lift. There was a significant opposition to this particular provision.
So tell us exactly what the bill does.
So under law before the bill passed, Title X dollars, as you know, which are state and federal funds that come through Nebraska, could go to two different entities. One entity was any entity that performs abortion. Now, it can't go to the abortion specifically for the provision of abortion, but it could go for any other service, which would indirectly subsidize the abortion facility. But it would also go towards those clinics that would want to refer for abortion. And as you and I know, a referral exception basically allows you to refer for any reason or no reason at all. So what the language does in the budget bill is it basically cuts off both of those things. It restricts, prohibits any Title X dollars from going to an abortion clinic for any reason whatsoever, and it also restricts dollars to those entities which would refer for abortion.
All right, Senator Hilgers, I said that the governor signed it yesterday. Actually, he signed it last week. But when will it take effect?
Under this, it's a budget bill, so it will take effect this summer because it has an E-clause, which in Nebraska is essentially an emergency provision, so it will take place very quickly in the coming weeks.
So what have you been hearing from your – I mean, I understand the legislature, the fight you have to do, because there's obviously those who have a different ideological bent. But what have you been hearing from your constituents?
Largely very supportive, even from people who are not pro-life maybe. Maybe they support Roe v. Wade, or they're maybe on the more moderate end. People understand that it's one thing to support abortion rights, but it's also another thing to have those rights supported through taxpayer dollars, which are received from people through the force of law, right? You and I and other Nebraskans can't refuse to pay our taxes. And even if we are deeply and morally opposed to abortion, those dollars could otherwise go to subsidizing abortion facilities. And I think people largely agree that that should not take place. So in the main, I'd say, Tony, we received tremendous support, but there was some very significant opposition. They were very vocal, both in my district and around the state.
Well, Mike, thanks for standing firm for the unborn. And again, the bigger issue here, forcing taxpayers, this is tax dollars we're talking about, mm-hmm. going into the coffers of organizations like Planned Parenthood. And so I think this is only right. States should be able to decide this. And I think it's best that this partnership be severed with abortion organizations like this. So Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Tony.
All right. That's State Senator Mike Hilgers in Nebraska, because they have a unicameral legislature. They're just one body. The governor there, Pete Ricketts, as I said, signed that bill last week into law. It'll take effect this year. And this isn't the only state. Other states have been lining up to do this since the Congress rolled back that Obama prohibition. I mean, that's something. President Obama was all about promoting the abortion agenda. And it's just fascinating to me how President Trump, who's doing the opposite almost, I mean, he's almost the mirror opposite, his administration. We see this over at HHS, Health and Human Services, and how the left is screaming, the press is screaming, oh, they're doing this. They're simply undoing what the last administration did. Activism is okay as long as it's liberal in the eyes of most in the press. But I think you're going to, my prediction, you will see more state lawmakers like Senator Hilgers who will walk through the door that the federal government opens to restrict these dollars from flowing into the coffers of organizations like Planned Parenthood. Okay, still more Washington Watch to come. On the other side of the break, tomorrow students are walking out. It's not about guns. It's about something else. Kristen Hawkins is here next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique. Not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. I know you watched this. There was a couple weeks ago where students were walking out of school in protest of the Second Amendment, gun violence, so on and so forth. In some cases, they did so with the blessing of the schools. Well, there was a give me the background on this. There was a teacher in California who said it was actually suspended because they made the comment about. You know, what if kids walked out protesting gun violence? I mean, protesting abortion violence. Brandon Gillespie then began this initiative to call students to walk out tomorrow, April the 11th at 10 a.m. for 17 minutes to stand for life. Well, that it really began to catch on all across America, thanks to help from Students for Life. And joining us now is the president of Students for Life, Kristen Hawkins. Kristen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tony.
Well, I know you have been a key part of helping promote this, and it looks like it's catching on. And so what are we anticipating tomorrow when it comes to kids at, 10 o'clock a.m. tomorrow? We're going to see kids
yes.
all across the nation taking a stand for life?
That's right. We're in over 400 schools now have contacted us, reached out for help and support. So we've been able to send pro-life gen signs to sample press releases, graphics, and legal support to them. So this is just, I mean, this is taking off. You know, when we talked to Brandon about what his vision was, national pro-life lockout, you know, I said, let's get this out there. Let's but see this pro-life generation in action. And that's what's so exciting about this, that this is a student-led initiative that simply we're allowed to come alongside of these students, help them make this reality tomorrow, help them to, you know, hopefully get national press attention, which this issue so deserves. I don't think we'll get the same amount of attention as the gun control walkout got, because obviously we don't have the mainstream media in our pockets, and we're not getting the same, you know, level of support from university and high school administrations as those students did. But we're going to be there, and the pro-life generation is going to stand up, and they're going to take a stand for those preborn lives, those 10 preborn lives. They're going to stand for 17 minutes. For 10 preborn baby girls and baby boys who Planned Parenthood will abort during that time span.
So, Kristen, how can students, can they still participate in this? Can they find out how they can be a part of it?
That's right. Students can still participate. Just go to prolifewalkout.org, and we have all the information there. We'll send you right away your started kick. And so everything available for folks, even if they want to do it as late as tonight.
Now, you also anticipating that the schools might deal with this a little differently than they did the Second Amendment protest. You have engaged the assistance of the Thomas More Legal Society to say, you know, you got to treat everybody the same. If a school, turns a blind eye to kids walking out over the Second Amendment or supports it, they need to do the same thing when it comes to the issue of life.
That's exactly right. And even at Brandon's own school there in Sacramento, we've already seen the administration not give the same level of accommodation to him and his pro-life walkout as the school gave to the gun control walkout, meaning the school had originally asked teachers during the gun control walkout to change their lesson plans for the day, accommodating 17-minute walkout, but Brandon is not being afforded. So students will be missing that 17 minutes of instructional time if they courageously choose to walk out. And that's why we've had to go to Life Legal Defense, Thomas More Society, get letters of support from our attorneys advocating for our right to speak out. And I'm sure, honestly, after tomorrow's over, I'm sure our attorneys are going to be very busy with legal cases.
Very good. Well, we'll be watching that very, very closely. Kristen Hawkins, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And you can, again, find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. Curious, I wonder if we've got any of our listeners, students, or maybe parents whose students are going to participate in this pro-life walkout tomorrow. I know yesterday we were talking about the event coming up on April 23rd, but this is tomorrow at 10 a.m. In each time zone across the country. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines here, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in the conversation. But as I said, I'll put you to the head of the line as we talk about. We've talked about a number of things today. We've talked about the Facebook testimony, the testimony of the Facebook president, Mark Zuckerberg. We were talking about the trafficking bill that Congresswoman Ann Wagner successfully passed and the impact that's already having. Talking about Neil Gorsuch, 1 year on the court, and he has been consistent with what the president had promised. And, of course, we were talking about the defunding of organizations like Planned Parenthood. So that's our topics for today. But as I say, if you are participating in tomorrow's pro-life walkout or your students in your home are doing so, give me a call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this morning. And I do think, and I'm going to be watching this very, very closely, and we'll be monitoring it, same thing with the event on the 23rd of April, to see how these school districts deal with this. Do they deal with it differently than they did the mass walkouts that took place over the Second Amendment? I predict that they're probably going to respond a little different. I think it'll be different. I really do. All right, 866-372-7234, and let's go to Texas where Rhonda is on the phone. Rhonda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that I don't think that we should be involving these children in adult situations. I didn't agree with it when the lefters did it, and I think we're stooping to their level. These children should not have that much power to decide on adult situations, and pulling them out of schools to do this is wrong, in my opinion. We should not be doing this.
Well, okay. This in this particular case, on this, it is students. These are students that are leading this, just as supposedly they were on the gun issue. Now, the one on the 23rd, which is the sex ed sit out, that is a, you know, parents are to pull their kids out. Kids are not to walk out on their own. And that is to take the day out and go and join these events that are bringing attention to. I appreciate your view, Rhonda. Thanks so much for listening and calling. We've started down this path, and I think part of this is to expose the hypocrisy in our school systems that, especially those that promoted the student walkout, that I was in California when it was taking place. Happened to be staying in a hotel where at the same time the some Federation of Teachers there in California were meeting. And very left-leaning, and that was preceding the Saturday at which they had the march, and the big march. And, of course, they were all there with their T-shirts and, supporting it and pushing it. And so I think we're going to see that the schools, the teachers, the administrations have been using the kids to push their agenda. And now we have kids that are stepping forward and saying, wait a minute, my agenda is on the life issue. And we're going to see if they're treated differently. Now, the other issue, the April 23rd with the sex ed, is really more to bring attention to what is actually happening in the classrooms of America. But Rhonda, thanks so much for the call. All right, let's go to Daniel in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Pat Perkins.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. My question is, how do military members live out their faith as far as their oath or their they have the solemn duty to support and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And, I know that the Roe v. Wade cases was, that's unconstitutional to say that, because murder is just wrong. And so when a baby is alive, when it comes out of the mother's womb, and what's the difference between a few seconds, before and after? You can't say it was dead before a few minutes prior to being born. So, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, and it's a very good question, Daniel. It's a very good question. I think it's a question a lot of people wrestle with. In our system of government, we have a constitution. We have laws that flow from that constitution. That's why issues of Supreme Court justices are so important. Their role is not to make law based on the constitution, but to interpret law according to the constitution. And 45 years ago, when the court in 1973 said that there was this right to abortion in the shadows of the Constitution, they were making law. Same thing in Obergefell when they said that the Constitution fines for same-sex marriage.
Right.
Well, we're a country of laws. We're a society ruled by law. So in our system, the courts made that declaration. Now, they have not settled that issue in 45 years. It continues to be an issue in every election. And here's where we are, Daniel, as a result of people being aware and involved, is that I believe that the next Supreme Court nomination, if President Trump is successful in getting through another nominee that's off of his list, that what you will see is America is going to take another step toward once again being a predominantly pro-life nation. I think we could very well see within the next decade Roe v. Wade, the court's wrongly decided case on abortion, overturned. Unfortunately, you know, while we may disagree with it, it is the law at present in terms of what is being upheld as the law. Now, I think there's means by which we challenge that. Okay, we challenge that by elections. We challenge it. The legislature, the Congress has a right to challenge it. There are ways in which we challenge. We can't simply ignore or just completely disregard. We have to work through the system to change it. That's what makes our system work. Now, I think we're very, very close on some of these things to seeing the our country frayed and really the undergirding of our country because of how, like Barack Obama, how far and hard he pushed us beyond the limits of the Constitution. You know, it's like the law meant nothing, the lawlessness. And we got to be very careful about that. Even though we don't like it, we got to work to change it legitimately, or I think we undermine our republic and the future of the country. So, Daniel, great question. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate you listening. But, you know, that very perceptive question, you know, especially for those that young people going into the military and they see all this craziness that has happened as a result of the courts, and say, how can I defend this? Well, this is why you and I, all of us, but I'm going to speak specifically to those who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are Christians, who are told to be salt and to be light. You are the light. We're not to hide our light under a bushel. We are to speak truth. We are to live truth. We are to influence the world around us. And so as Christians, we're not looking to government to, you know, transform society. But what we are looking for is for transformed lives to influence the world around us, and that includes policy. And so our policy really is a reflection of our culture. And as we win the hearts and minds of people and they understand that each and every human life is valuable regardless of what zip code it's conceived in or what side of the tracks it's born on, it's valuable and it has inherent value because it is created in the image of God. Therefore, it is to be protected under our laws, not aborted under the whims of courts and of justices. So, folks, we've got to be involved. We've got to be informed. And that's why this upcoming election is so important. I know you might say, Congress isn't doing anything. I'm going to stay home. The Supreme Court hangs in the balance in this next election, as it has for many. But we must not grow weary in well-doing. All right, sorry I didn't get to all the calls. I wanted to unpack Daniel's question. All right, I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.